Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week I wanted to talk about, obviously I'll do a run through on my photo shoot prep. So this week I wanted to talk about, basically I got a DM of someone asking, are they going through starvation mode because they haven't lost any body fat in X amount of months? So that's what I want to cover here. Is there any truth to it, or is it just a myth? But we'll get to that now in a second. But just run through on my photo shoot prep. So we commenced week 8. There's 12 weeks to go. So the 16th of May, it's currently the 22nd of February now. But my coach said he would like to have me ready 4 weeks out. So, you know, I can enjoy being that lean for 4 weeks. Because remember, lads, when I get those pictures back, you know, and when people see them online, they're going to think, oh my God, like, she's so lean, you know, body goals or whatever. I'm not going to look like that for the rest of the year. I'm probably going to look like that for about a month. I'm going on a holiday about 2 weeks after. Happy days, great. But it's not sustainable to maintain like that amount of leanness, okay? Because immense sacrifice comes from it. And I want to have a life. So I will start to put on weight gradually after I finish the photo prep. Not a lot. Like, you know, a lot of people go through this thing called a rebound phase, where I actually covered it in my last, most recent episode, what happens after fat loss. But some people come out of photo shoots and they rebound bad. They just think, oh, I don't have to restrict anymore. And it's like telling someone they can't eat cake, who loves cake for so long, and then when they're allowed to eat cake again, like, they, like, you know, face plant the first cake they see, and then they eat another one and another one, and you have to be so careful because you can end up just undoing months of hard work. So I will put back on a little bit of body fat, but it won't be relentless. But again, I want to be able to live my life and, you know, enjoy myself and go out for meals with family and friends and do fun things that doesn't require an awful lot of restriction and a lot of activity. So yeah, I will put back on a bit of body fat. But, you know, it will be great to kind of see my body in that form, because I know I'm not going to be like that lean again for a long time, because again, I want to have a life. But it's great to be able to see what your body can look like underneath everything else, you know, the muscle that you've built and stuff. Because I did a shoot before, I did one at the start of 2023. March 2023, and it was kind of a mini one, nothing compared to this one. And it was still tough, but this one is a lot tougher. But I like being able to put myself through tough things and know that I actually come over a better person mentally, more experience. And because it's been so long since my last shoot, almost a year, I have more muscle on my frame now. So, you know, I'm probably going to blow the last shoot out of water. But anyway, the last week, I would say it was a little bit tough because I got my period this week. So PMS was kicking me around. I found last week I was a lot more tired, had less energy, kind of moody and stuff like that. Like, I'm an antichrist the week before my period. And then it arrives and you're like, oh, so that explains everything. So yeah, I found last week really tough, and I was definitely a little bit more hungry. So like I just put it down to PMS, thank God. And this week I feel a whole lot better. I've more energy. I feel a little bit more sane. But, you know, even coaches and stuff experience, female coaches experience PMS. And it is tough. You obviously get better at dealing with cravings and stuff like that, because at the end of the day, it's sometimes it's a placebo. Sometimes it's like, oh, well, it's a craving, so, you know, I'm just going to eat the large bag of Maltesers. Like, that's a fixed mindset. Sometimes there has to be a line drawn where it's like, no, I'll just have a small bag of Maltesers instead, rather than the whole sheer size bag. So yeah, that's how last week went, and there was no changes this week, although I did get my high day back. So I explained what a high day is in my last podcast. It's basically like a little kickstart. Because you're on low food, sometimes implementing more food for one day a week actually can help fat loss. It really can, especially when you're on low food. It really does. It just rejuvenates your body, and it just gets everything up and working again. So yeah, I'm delighted he's after giving me one, because they're going to be few and far between now. And he did say, when we see an improvement in physique, I'll give you one. That could be every 2 to 3 weeks, every 3 to 4 weeks. But again, not long left. It's going to fly in anyway. And so far, so good. But I know, like, there is more to come. I know it is going to get a little bit tougher. But, you know, the closer we're getting to the finish line, that's all I'll keep thinking about. You know, we are getting closer to the end. Every step you take, you're getting closer to the finish line. It's not like we're taking two steps back. And it really is all about mental resilience when it comes to these things. And, you know, I have a lot of people saying, what's the photo shoot for? Like, it's a fitness photo shoot. It's, I feel like, I know this is kind of corny, but when I'm in my 60s or 70s or 80s and I can't, well, you know, I'll probably be able to move a lot better than a lot of people who aren't in the gym or lifting weights or anything. And that will stand to you in years to come. If you're lifting weights now in your 20s and your 40s, you're going to be the one that's going to be able to run up the stairs and your other friend is going to need help getting up them stairs. You're going to be able to squat going to the toilet. You're not going to need a hand getting up off the toilet. That's why weightlifting stands to you when you're younger. So, yeah. So, you know, it's one of the reasons why I want to do it. It's not only to look back on and be like, look what I put myself through, look what I was able to achieve, because your body is yours. It's a canvas. You can dictate how it looks. If you really put your mind to it, you can dictate how it looks. And to be able to get it to that condition because of the immense sacrifice that you made. And no one's going to pat you on the back and be like, oh, well, I was able to enjoy a cake every day and, you know, binge drink on the weekends and you were putting yourself through that. And no, thanks, not for me. That's fine. It's not for everybody. But I think to be able to see your body in its truest form, like I'm talking conditioned as fuck, because it's not often you're going to see it like that throughout your life. Like I said, it's not sustainable, but to be able to see your body in its most strongest form, to see that muscle you've built over months or years come to the surface, like I just think it's great. And it's great to have the pictures there. And also, when you're a coach, I'm not saying that you have to be that lean or you have to be in immense condition, but you know, you are your own shop window. And when people look at you, be like, well, if she can do that for herself, imagine what she can do for me. Imagine, you know, it's that's the way I see it. I mean, you are your own shop window. If you can, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? If you can put yourself through it, then you know exactly what you're putting your clients through. Like, because a lot of people can just sit there and say, you need to do this, you need to do that. And sometimes some PTs need a lecture themselves. Sometimes they aren't practicing what they preach, but I want people to look at my pictures and be like, no, she definitely practices what she preaches. So yeah, and then there's obviously other personal reasons. But yeah, that's why I want to do it. But again, it will probably be my last photo shoot because it is very time consuming. And, you know, after I get these pictures back, I will be happy to go back to just a normal gym routine, less activity, and be able to, you know, eat out on weekends and enjoy my favorite foods again more frequently. But yeah, I've done two now, and who knows, maybe I'll even step on stage one day, but I think I'm going to give it a miss for a year or two so far. And just enjoy foods in its purest form. But anyway, jumping into this week's episode. So starvation mode, is it a myth? Because I used to throw this word around a lot when I wasn't educated on it. And I kind of want to bust this myth, okay? So starvation mode comes from the myths that, well, it's basically a myth that your metabolism slows down because you're not eating enough food, okay? So starvation mode is basically where you are emaciated. Like, I'm talking people who live in third world countries. Like, that's what starvation mode is. When your rib cage is poking through your skin and your collarbone is poking through your skin and you've not an ounce of muscle on your frame, that is starvation mode. It's not starvation mode when you live in a first world country and you have access to any food you like. It's in your fridge, it's in your presses. People just like to throw around that term when their fat loss starts to stall, okay? And, you know, the myth kind of comes from your metabolism starts to slow down because basically it's trying to conserve its energy for bodily functions. So, for example, pumping blood around your body, breathing, blinking, thinking, like, you know, a lot like digestion. So it slows down calories burned through non-exercise activity thermogenesis, so walking around, fidgeting, etc. It's burning less calories through that, so it can conserve energy to keep you alive, basically. That's what the myth is, okay? So I'm here to basically bust that. So what can happen is there's a couple of reasons, all right? And it's not starvation mode. So very aggressive diets kill your energy, like I've just discussed, okay? Very aggressive diets kill your energy because you are running on very little fuel. And with very little fuel, aka energy, you are going to be zapped and you're not going to be able to have the energy to move that much. It's just you're going to have a very poor ability to move that much, all right? And with less movement means less calories burned, okay? Means less calories burned. So at the end of the day, it's going to slow down fat loss if you're moving less, all right? Because you're not going to have the energy to move. You are just going to be running on probably one meal a day because you're trying to speed up fat loss and you're not patient enough and you just want to get it done and over with. And I said this to my actually Facebook community from my app community. You know, losing fat the fast way is actually the slower way and it's going to take longer. And trying to lose it quickly is just going to take longer, all right? And that's what a very aggressive diet is, where you're just running in head first, you're not thinking about anything rationally and you're not going to be patient and you're just trying to be greedy when it comes to fat loss. Your energy is going to be zapped, you're not going to be able to move, and with less movement, you're going to burn less calories, okay? So dieting slowly is actually more sustainable and you're going to be able to maintain a lot of your energy. And you're going to be able to preserve muscle as well, because I said it in my last podcast as well, when you are burning so much calorie, when you're burning so many calories and you aren't eating that much, like, you are just going to have no energy, and then your body has to take it from something. When it starts running out of body fat, it starts taking it from muscle. So you're actually damaging the muscle tissue that you've been building, okay? But when you're dieting slowly, it's so much more easier to maintain. It's so much more sustainable. Yes, it's the long way, but it's the right way. And you actually get to preserve your muscle. So what I'm doing right now, my photo shoot, I am preserving muscle because I'm doing it the right way. I'm eating enough protein. I'm not in a spin class every day of the week. And I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing to preserve muscle. So that way, when I do drop the body fat, all the muscle I've built over the last year or so is still going to be there. And obviously going to the gym is helping to preserve that as well, because if I just was in a calorie deficit and didn't go to the gym, the muscle would start to slowly fade. But people, the next one as well is, so we've covered aggressive diets reduce energy and in turn reduces your movement, and then in turn of that is obviously going to reduce calories burnt, okay, which slows down fat loss. Then the second reason people try to blame starvation mode on is you are actually underestimating the amount of food that you're eating, okay? So maybe it's not starvation mode. Maybe you just aren't accounting for all the calories that you're eating. You probably aren't in a calorie deficit, and that's probably the top reason, to be honest. You probably aren't in a calorie deficit. I have people texting my DMs all the time. I've been in a calorie deficit now for 6 months and I'm just not losing anything. So you are telling me you have tracked 100%. Let's say there's 180 days in 6 months. You are telling me every single day you tracked 100% of the food that went into your body. You didn't go over your calories whatsoever on any of those days. In 180 days, you did not go over your calories. I find that very hard to believe, because what usually happens is there have been weeks where you weren't tracking anything. You just threw the towel in, oh, I'll get back on track next week and I'll just continue with those calories that I was on. There's probably been multiple weeks within that 6 month period where you weren't in a calorie deficit, and that's why it slowed down. And then another reason is you're not tracking a lot of the food that you're taking in, picking, you know, at biscuits if you're over in your friends for coffee, picking a chip off your partner's plate, two or three chips, all that stuff adds up. If you're doing that every day, it all adds up. And then if you're not tracking your calories, or if you are, I mean, and you're getting to the end of the day and you're tracking your food in MyFitnessPal, you're forgetting about those biscuits that you had, or picking those chips up off the plate. You're not tracking them. You actually forget about a lot of the stuff that you've eaten when you wait till the end of the day. And what happens is you can underestimate by about 40% by doing the calories that you've actually eaten that day. So you think you've eaten 1800, but you've actually eaten about 2200, and then you're getting frustrated. Oh, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, I'm in a calorie deficit, when you really aren't in a calorie deficit. Like, that's the science of it. You need to be moving more and eating less, and most of the time you probably haven't been eating less, you've probably just been maintaining. So yeah, that is another reason why weight loss is stalling, because you're not in a calorie deficit, okay? You need to be more accountable, and that can happen from eating out too much, okay? Yes, we're all entitled to have a meal out with friends and family, we are. But if you're going out 2 to 3 times a week, and just because you're in a calorie deficit and then you're guesstimating the meal that you have out in the restaurant, oh, well, you know, I still tracked it in my fitness pal and I gave a good guess as to how many calories it would be. We don't know that chef is or isn't pouring a litre of olive oil into that meal. Like, we just don't know. So we can type in chicken curry into MyFitnessPal and it comes up 500 calories. And then, you know, it's probably 800, 900 calories. You know, little things like that. Now, look, I'm not saying that we can't go out and have food. We can. But if you're doing that about three times a week, you're having lunch one day, breakfast another, and dinner another day out, that is going to probably slow down progress. Like, we want to be able to track and measure as much of the food that we are taking in as possible. Because if we can't measure it, we can't change anything. We really can't. And we don't know where we don't know what's slowing it down, but it's very easy to pinpoint, you know, if you're eating out frequently a lot, it's very easy to find the reason why fat loss is stalling. It's because you're eating out too frequently. Okay. And I would advise maybe limit it to one meal out a week and stick to a high protein dish. That would be my piece of advice on that, because, you know, when I'm in a normal calorie deficit, I'll probably go out once a week and have a meal out. But when I'm in photoshoot prep, I won't. I want to be able to measure everything. And I'm not saying you have to live like that for the rest of your life, but when you're in a calorie deficit, you do have to rein things in a bit. Number three, water retention. So this can cause weight to stall, not fat loss to stall, okay? This can cause body weight to stall because it's masking fat loss, all right? Because don't forget, water retention weighs something, okay? If I drink a litre of water now and I stand on the scale, I am going to go up in weight on the scale. I'm not going to go up in body fat, I'm going to go up in weight. And water retention can come from a number of things. Your menstrual cycle, stress, etc. If you had a really tough day in the gym, your muscles can become inflamed and water can flood into them as a healing mechanism. So many reasons that we can retain water, and that can mask fat loss on the scale. So you could actually be dropping body fat, but the water retention is making the scale appear higher. And a lot of people are quick to, you know, blame, oh, well, I had a chocolate bar last night, I'm owing on the lips, forever on the hips. It's not that, okay? It's just water retention. And believe it or not, whenever I go into a fat loss phase, the first month is always the slowest, okay? It really is. Sometimes it can take 4 weeks for my scale to start to drop. But what will happen is that water retention will start to taper down and you'll get a big whoosh. That's what they call it. A massive drop on the scale. It could be a kilo and a kilo and a half. But a lot of people don't stick around long enough to see that. They just start saying, I'm in starvation mode. Okay. And it's just temporary. That's all it is. It eventually goes down. My scale shoots up at my time of the month and then it drops back down after a few days. And I've experienced it enough times now to know that it will eventually disappear and all will return to normal. And, you know, years ago, I'd just say, ah, fuck this, it's not working. And I would go downstairs and I just eat my body weight in biscuits. So you need to have patience because the scale will test you. Okay. So that's three reasons there. All right. That's very aggressive diets can kill your energy. Okay, less energy, less likelihood to move more. If we're not moving enough, we're not burning calories, which will slow down fat loss. Number two, you're not accounting for a lot of the calories that you're taking in. You're forgetting about a lot of the calories that you're taking in, and you are probably underestimating, all right, the amount of food that you're taking in, and you're not in a calorie deficit. You need to be in a calorie deficit. Number three is water retention, okay? So a lot of people say, I just feel like I'm not making progress, okay? And if they're not blaming starvation mode, they're saying this, I feel like I'm not making progress. So we just discussed water retention, and that can make you feel like you're not making progress. But what data have you got to back that claim up? I feel like I'm not making progress. How is that a fact, okay? Because have you been taking pictures on a weekly basis? Have you been taking measurements? I know have you been weighing daily, okay? Because that's not enough data. If you are not taking pictures, if you're not taking measurements, if you're not doing daily weigh-ins, you haven't got enough data to back up the claim, I feel like I'm not making progress. If you are taking weekly pictures, your measurements aren't changing, your physique isn't changing, and your scale weight hasn't changed in a month to 2 months, then you can back up the claim that you're not making progress. But if you are not measuring anything, you can't make that claim, I feel like I'm not making progress, okay? Like, obviously, if your measurements are starting to drop, your pictures are starting to change after, you know, 4 weeks to 5 weeks, and the scale probably has dropped by a pound or two, but your measurements are dramatically dropping and your physique image is dramatically changing, you're not going to turn around and say, I feel like I'm not making progress, because the evidence is there that you are making progress. So I'm sorry, but you can't say, I feel like I'm not making progress if you are not measuring anything. So that is my advice on that as well, okay? Stop blaming starvation mode and start looking at other metrics. Stop using the scale as your only metric, because that's why you are using the term, I feel like my body's going into starvation mode. Start taking weekly pictures. I send my coach a weekly picture every week. Okay, now I'm doing it twice a week because I'm in photo shoot prep, and yes, it's a pain in the fucking hole. It is setting up the tripod, you know, I have to take it in a well-lit room, natural light, etc. Put my camera on a timer. But when I look at those photos from week one to week eight and I feel like I'm not making progress, there is a dramatic difference after 4 weeks, after 8 weeks, after 12 weeks. I take my measurements as well every 4 weeks. And then when they're not changing, I can say, I don't think I'm making progress. Okay, so you need to start using more metrics other than the scale, because you can't use the scale as your only form of diet, because it will constantly go up, go down. And it's body weight, it's not body fat, okay? Like, our body weight is the sum of everything that we carry around, our bones, our muscle, our organs, water retention, etc. Blood, that all weighs something. You can't stand on the scale and if you see 70 kilo, that's 70 kilo worth of body fat, all right? Like, again, your menstrual cycle, lack of sleep, had a big meal before bed, you haven't had a shit yet. Like, it's just so many reasons. So do not blame the scale if that's your only metric, okay? Start taking pictures weekly, even if it's only you who sees them. Start taking measurements every 2 to 4 weeks, because you can't say I'm not making progress if you're not measuring anything. You can't, all right? But that pretty much sums up this week's episode on starvation mode. Yes, it is a myth, okay? Starvation, people who are in starvation mode are emaciated. They are living in third world countries, and that's what real starvation is, all right? You aren't in starvation mode if you're living in a first world country and you have a roof over your head and, you know, any food you like within arm's reach. You're just not tracking correctly. You're being too aggressive with your diet and therefore can't expend as much energy because you're so zapped. Or number three, you are in the start of your fat loss phase and you're just retaining some water, or you could be in the middle of your fat loss phase and you were going to your menstrual cycle, or you could have been ill, or, you know, you've just had a tough week in the gym. And then finally, make sure you are using more than the scale as a metric, okay? So I will hopefully have a guest on in my next episode, all going well. Looking forward to it. And again, thanks for tuning in.